the beef. A pain in the ass worth having.
CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, even FOX, which is a name, not a set of initials. No matter, they're all there all day and all night. But in much of the world, just one set of initials really matters. BBC, known the world over as the Beeb, and listened to the world over more than any other network in the world.
This is London.
For millions around the world, that signature tune and these five beeps say Britain as much as Big Ben or Buckingham Palace. But the British Broadcasting Corporation doesn't always mean the Queen's English. Its world service transmits in 43 languages on 43 separate services
programa do serviço brasileiro da BBC de Londres
to more than 150 million people around the globe, from the streets of Amman to the markets of Mogadishu, to the cafes of Kandahar. In many countries, the BBC has even more listeners than the local radio stations. And there's no place where it's more popular than in Afghanistan,
BBC,
where an estimated 80% of the population tunes in. That's why in this country, where many pray five times a day, the BBC has become known as the sixth prayer. The headquarters of the BBC, the heart of this beast with 43 tongues, is a quintessentially English building called Bush House in central London. It is so vast, its corridor is so convoluted, that it takes a new employee an average of 2 years to find his way around, by sight and by sound. The World Service can be important to Western leaders, too. Last fall, Dick Cheney called the Afghan section of the World Service, asking to be interviewed, and he was. When British Prime Minister Tony Blair put in his call, reporter Najiba Khosrai pulled a Mike Wallace on him.
I said to him that Afghanistan was used as a battleground during the Cold War and that it was dumped. How can people trust you this time?
You gave the Prime Minister a hard time.
I don't know. I hope so.
Khosrai, who was born in Afghanistan, has had her own share of hard times. After she fled Kabul in 1991, her mother, her little brother, and her sister were killed in the war. She barely spoke a word of English when she first arrived at Bush House 10 years ago. Now she's a World Service star, interviewing the new Afghan leader, Hamid Karzai, in Tokyo. But when the BBC interviewed Karzai's predecessor, the Taliban's leader, Mullah Mohammed Omar, it got scooped. He had already called the Voice of America in Washington. But the State Department stepped in and blocked the Omar interview from being broadcast, because U.S. officials said it would give a platform to the enemy.
Can you imagine how demoralizing it is for someone who gets this amazing world scoop and then isn't allowed to go on air?
That could never happen at the BBC.
No, it would never happen at the BBC. My goodness, if we would have gotten that kind of interview that early in the war with Mullah Omar, it would have been plastered right across the BBC.
And that, it turns out, is the most remarkable thing about the Beeb. While it's totally funded by the British government, it has never permitted the government to influence its broadcasting, not even during the Second World War.
Men were fighting the fires from the top of 100-foot ladders, shot up from...
Not even by Winston Churchill, who tried often and unsuccessfully to get the Beeb to play down British defeats.
If we don't broadcast the truth about the times when we lose, when the victories come, when the tide turns, they won't believe us either, so you've got to be consistent.
Churchill called you the enemy within.
It's quite easy to fall over into that sort of trap of being a bit holier than thou. That's why people like Churchill and others regard it as a pain in the ass. And then they recover and recognize that it's a pain in the ass worth having in the long run.